Welcome again to Highly Questionable. These guys are never ready when we start around here. This guy is always underdressed, spectacularly underdressed. He's Amino Hassan. What do you like on the show today, Amino?
I can't predict the weather conditions in this studio, so I dressed appropriately. Look, I'm excited to talk more about feet, foot fetish time.
All
day
right.
Two.
Great. Excellent. Dale, papi.
What was the most interesting thing Kevin Durant said in his interview with Yahoo?
Among other things, he tells us that the reporting has been wrong on whether or not he's mad at the Warriors medical staff for rushing him back. He denies it very strongly, but I like that he knows who he is at this point in life, is more comfortable having gone through everything that he's gone through, so that when Chris Haynes arrives at his house to write about things, mansion overlooking an amazing view, he tells Chris Haynes, "You didn't come up here for nothing. I'm going to give you something." And what he gave them, among other things, was Raptors fans aren't going to sniff the finals again, and they only won because Kevin Durant wasn't there to bury them. He basically said those fans are never going to get to see anything like that again because he expects to be the one in their way as we go forward here. He still expects to be the kind of great that he was in Golden State. But, Amin, I thought interesting as well, he has no idea how he's going to come back from this injury. Kevin Durant is giving you the vulnerability of, I don't know where this is going to end up because I don't know what this rehab is going to entail. I thought the whole thing was interesting.
Yeah, Chris Haynes always does a great job of getting guys to open up and really connect on a level that is beyond the regular humdrum interview. Having said that, I thought two things were really interesting. One, he said he made his decision to join the Nets on June 30th.
Come on now.
Come on, KD.
Come on, KD.
But I'm not gonna begrudge him for that because oftentimes guys are honest when questions like that are lobbed at them, and I always say, what do you owe us here? You don't owe us anything. You should just lie the whole time. But the other thing, Dan, is he would not rule out coming back at some point in the 2019-2020 season, which got me thinking, what if he comes back in late March or early April and joins the Nets team as a fifth or sixth seed in the playoffs? What does that look like? No?
He thought that was more interesting than the rest of you did. Right. I didn't think it was that interesting. You didn't think it was that interesting. He pointed to his head. But Kevin Durant coming back late in the season on the sixth seed, all the top four seeds are going to be scared of that.
It was interesting.
Barely. I just sold it for you.
What kind of risk is Kenny Stills taking by calling out the boss?
This is an interesting story for a number of different reasons. You do not normally have in the NFL, which can be suffocating and limiting the rights of people, a player putting his name on the guy who's cashing the checks and questioning him when he does a Trump fundraiser for $250,000. And what I would say to you about the speaking truth to power is, this is how it happens when guys get stronger because of what's happening around them and they see somebody else lead them. That somebody else is Colin Kaepernick. He's out of the league, but Stills has been kneeling on that sideline since then. And now he's going on social media and coming after his owner when you do not see in that sport players coming after their owners publicly because it's unsafe, because you're disposable. And what I would say when you're speaking truth to power, once upon a time, Roger Goodell, none of the players felt like they could say anything bad about Roger Goodell. Then Bounty Gate happened, and all the players felt totally comfortable coming after Roger Goodell. The fact that Kenny Stills did this empowers the next guy to do it because the Dolphins can't do much of anything to him, and if they trade him over the principal, he'll continue to take his message somewhere else.
Not only that, but he amplifies his message. The idea that he was disposable not because of his production on the field, but because of a, I guess, political difference between him and his and the owner of his team. But here's the other part of this, Dan. You're absolutely right that it started with Colin Kaepernick. And oftentimes, the first guy through the door is the guy who gets it the worst. But everybody else gets the benefit from that guy who takes that ultimate sacrifice. One of the names we're hearing about a lot nowadays is Kurt Flood, the man who introduced free agency to American sports. He got effectively blackballed from baseball after going to court and winning that case that allowed for free agency. His career was over. But count hundreds and hundreds of other professional athletes have come through in this country and benefited from that because he was willing to take that sacrifice. That's what Kaepernick did, and now Kenny Stills is probably the next wave.
Just so that you're clear on this, the Miami Dolphins owner has all the money in the world. He's the kind of guy who can charge $250,000 a table at a fundraiser. But the problem he's got in his huddle right now is that's a primarily black team, and that's a primarily black coaching staff. And so on this particular subject, Kenny Stills is on one side, and he's looking at his owner and saying, you're on the other. And they're asking everyone in that locker room, pick a side.
How do you think John Gruden really feels that there is no timetable for Antonio Brown's return?
already? Like, we haven't even played games yet, and this whole idea of bringing in Richie Incognito, who's last seen in a weight room, throwing weights at people in Boca and claiming that the government was after him, and we haven't heard from Vontaze Burfict on Hard Knock. What we have learned is that Frostbite have gotten pretty important feet for the Raiders in some trouble, and Justin Gatlin, the sprinter, is telling TMZ, hey, it took me months to come back from that, and I had to have doctors, like, popping blisters all the time. When something like that happens, it's a lot worse than you think it is. I can't believe, I mean, already that Gruden's here. They paid all this money, they traded for him, and already this guy has undermined them with something that seems spectacularly dumb.
Dan, the Hard Knocks episode started with Gruden reminding us that he's not into dreams anymore, he's into bleeping nightmares. This yes. qualifies as yes. a bleeping nightmare.
That's right.
Holy hell. They just acquired this guy who is quite possibly the best wide receiver in the game, and we may not see him at all this season, because if you listen to Justin Gatlin, like it wasn't a few weeks, it was months. And then the other part of it, I think it's really important to point out, when we did this show yesterday, we said he had frostbite, and you made a joke about, usually when you hear frostbite, you're talking about nubs and amputations, right? Today we know it is extreme frostbite. What is extreme frostbite that is not extreme enough for amputation? I need to know. This is incredibly worrying for the Raiders.
John Gruden, he doesn't care. He has another 9 years left in his contract. Right. He can milk this thing forever.
That's
you know?
Right.
That's right.
That's Tell me if his feet are going to be okay in a decade when they stop paying me.
Should the XFL go all in on Trevor Lawrence?
This was an interesting thing hypothesized by Mike Tannenbaum, the idea that because Trevor Lawrence is now 220 pounds, he's physically ready to play that position in a sport where it's less violent than it has been, in a way that sophomores and juniors from the past haven't been allowed. The idea that he would forego the next 2 years of his eligibility and go get paid and then make his way to the NFL. But here's the thing that might keep him in Clemson for a while. They've got not one. Not two, not three, but four projected NFL first-round picks at just wide receiver. This game is going to be so easy and fun for him, but if I were the XFL, if I'm Vince McMahon, if I need to make a splash, I absolutely throw large dollars at this guy to make him the centerpiece of my league as a renegade against college football and its injustices and the stupid rules that make the NFL work in cahoots with the fellow cartel of college football to create a minor league system that is free and unfair for people like Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, it's funny, Dan said fun and easy at Clemson playing with four first-round picks. You know what else is fun and easy? Going to the bank every 2 weeks and That's depositing
true.
A check.
Yes, it is. Yes.
And so for him to be able to take that year and basically make money while waiting for his NFL eligibility to start, that beats going and doing that for free and making Dabo Swinney a bunch of money, making Clemson University a lot of money. So for me, yes, it's worth the risk, obviously, for the XFL to get anybody who's got a name. But it's worth the risk for Trevor Lawrence as well, because worst case scenario, you're there for a year and then you move on to the big time.
One of the things, though, that makes him a bit of a player without precedent is he's a guy who's ready to be in the NFL as a freshman. And it was obvious. He will be the number one pick in the draft as a sophomore. And it'll be obvious. He'll be the number one pick in the draft as a junior. And it'll be obvious. There hasn't been a player at this position that could come into the pros this way, looking like this, who's physically growing and is 220 pounds. This guy's got the entire world in front of him, and all you don't want to happen here is for him to get hurt and they can replace him right away, because they could go get five other quarterbacks to throw to those four number one receivers.
You know who wants him to go to the XFL?
Who's that?
Nick Saban, because then
That's
Alabama
right.
will have
That's
a good
right.
chance
That's
of winning
right.
the field
That's
all
right.
over again.
That's
you know?
A good point. That's right. Nick Saban's going to put a little money in like a fund and send it quietly. Anonymous donor, get Trevor Lawrence in the XFL.
He'll match the salary dollar for dollar.
Does the Adam Gase story in The Athletic make you think he's not so just a football guy?
My father's been calling him Gase for a while. No particular reason. Just my father likes to do that. He knows it's Gase at this point, but he likes to call him Adam Gase. And you saw in this story, as with a lot of other NFL coaches who are obsessive, compulsive, and crazed, he is one of these guys, no windows in the office, doesn't know whether it's 2 a.m. or 7 a.m., and basically lives for the next play. I will say this, though, having gotten to know him a little bit in Miami, he came to the Cleveland, we had a drink right there, back there. The off-air Adam Gase is much more interesting than the on-air Adam Gase. He conceals that part of his personality, and he really doesn't care what anyone thinks about much of anything in social media, because he lives in that football cave, and all he's doing is thinking about the next play.
Dan, whenever these profiles come out, I always think to myself, there was an intention here from the subject, the interview subject, that this would come out and explain me and paint me as the genius that I am, the torture genius who goes to bed at 2 a.m. and is back at work at 6 a.m. And instead, I always think, how incredibly obtuse this man comes across. First of all, the idea that his wife would give birth through C-section, and he's like, you good? I gotta go meet with Peyton Manning for my 2 p.m. meeting on Tuesdays. It is so ridiculous. There's a term for this in the NBA, guys who do that and say, oh, I work so hard, I'm watching film all night long. It's called fake hustle. There are studies, countless studies, from the scientific community, letting us know that there is a saturation point after which if you keep studying, you're not learning anything. Your brain is shut off. You're just doing it to say you did it. And there's a lot of that in this story. And you know what upset me most of all? The start of the article where they're talking about the infamous press conference with his googly eyes and how neither Adam Gase nor anyone in his family thinks it's funny. Because we're serious football people.
They are serious football people. This is not new, incidentally, this kind of philosophy that has infected all of the NFL, where these guys compete against each other to sleep less or sleep at the office more. Joe Gibbs was having his family tape record their dinner conversations and send them to the facility. Gase isn't doing new work here on that.
Fake hustle.
He's not crazy about football. The only thing that he's crazy about is tacos.
Oh, my father enjoys this video here. Any chance we get to play this? The family doesn't think that's funny.
There's no laughing matter here. Just a man who's very focused on football and how, when can I get back into the film room so I can watch more film, because right now I'm wasting time. By the way, my wife is giving birth in the next room over. I don't have time for that either.
I want you to look at those three people and tell me whether you want to be led into the future by those faces of leadership. Those three right there.
The music is very happy.
Coming up next on my son's TV show.
He promises that it's not a problem in games. And it remains to be seen because his shorts today were soaked.
Time to play the game that has never lost a game of ping pong. See or no?
Do you question is the game we're playing here, not see or no? You no. Tell us what you're interested in and we will question it.
I was thrown off.
Do you question if this was just a disagreement?
I've got to explain something to you about Baltimore Orioles baseball. It might be the worst thing anywhere in sports right now. And Chris Davis is the ultimate symbol for this team as a guy who used to be good, got a bunch of money, and now strikes out all over the place. And the only thing he can hit is in his dugout. It's stationary targets in his dugout where the Orioles are not athletic enough to avoid it. Look at his.
Held off here.
This is coming after the manager. He's a manager. He's been playing every day, even though he's been god-awful, historically god-awful. And now he's coming after the manager because it's frustrating to be a Baltimore Oriole. I believe they have allowed this season, and I think I have the number right here. I might be a number off or two. 7,400 home runs to just the Yankees.
Dan, my favorite part about this video is you can't read his lips, but I absolutely know he's there. I just want to talk to him. I just want to talk to him. That's what everyone always says right before they absolutely destroy somebody's face.
You know what I just learned?
What's that?
The name of the manager of the Orioles.
Yeah, me too. Me
he's
too.
Brandon
Hyde. You guys thought it was Phil Buck Showalter, didn't you? You thought so. Yeah, it's not anymore.
I still don't know.
Do you question whether Kirk Cousins should be more concerned about his center's sweaty butt?
Sweaty butt.
That's right, Poppy. You read it. You repeated it. You echoed. We all looked at you that way. Let's see what Garrett, what's his last name? You guys know this guy's last name, the center?
Bradbury.
Bradbury. Garrett Bradbury.
Different center obviously adds an element to it. What do you hope to get out of this with Garrett getting his first snaps?
Well, I'm going to take it back to how much he sweats again. He promises that it's not a problem in games. And it remains to be seen because his shorts today were soaked. And he says it's not a problem on game day. So the moment of truth, Friday night. But apparently, you know, when they keep those domes air conditioned and you get a break on the bench and you sit with the cooling fans, I'm hoping that really helps. So that's a big thing I'm going to take away from Friday night is how tough was it to grip the ball after he snaps it to me. If it is tough, we might be in pistol and shotgun all year, which Coach Kubiak and Kevin wouldn't like very much. But it's really not posterior. It's really just the whole thing. I mean, I look at his shins and it's just like just poor. I mean, it looks like my window after a rainstorm, and I look at my shins and they're just, you know, it's just genetic, I guess. So I don't know, but he claims it's not a problem in games, and last time I checked, that's all we get measured on. So We'll go off that.
So is the sweat affecting the ball itself, or is there an odor accompanying the sweat? I mean, there's so many ways you can go with this.
Feel free to go any which of those ways, because I don't have anything on this.
Well, my pants are soaked too, but I'm not sweating.
That's what that smell is.
You got it. Well, at least it's not number two.
That's a good
That's
point.
That's true, right? Right? It could have been so much worse. Right.
Whose dog is this?
It's my special friend Antonio. His luxurious fur calms my nerves when I'm worried about moving into our new apartment.
Why don't we just ask?
Time to play a game that has a broken teleprompter. Do you question?
You guys give us topics and events.
See? Oh, no.
And then we mess it up.
Across the NFL tonight, 11 NFL preseason games.
Oh, did you hear that enthusiasm, Poppy? 11.
11.
Wow. All right. Yes, Daniel Jones and Kyler Murray. But let's check in with Odell Beckham and a jugs machine. And behind them is Rashard Higgins, another receiver for the Browns. Let's see what happens, because Odell likes these one-handed catches after the practice with the jugs machine. Lost a little trust on that one. That's hard to do, by the way. He's pretty good at catching footballs. Amin, are you intrigued?
Dan, even if you told me the fate of humanity rested upon the results of preseason football, I would still say no.
All right, what he just did was on national television kill all of you because he doesn't want to be burdened to watch tonight's preseason football.
Preseason, no.
Poppy, are you intrigued?
Oh, see, I'm very intrigued.
Football.
Yes.
Football.
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 Football. Football. Football. Football. Football. Tonight with a bunch of names you don't recognize.
On ESPN, the Little League World Series.
We have had only Orioles baseball and the Little League World Series as part of our baseball coverage here today. So we've had zero Major League Baseball on today's show. But here's a 12-year-old. This is Yadi. What's his last name, Poppy?
Mateo.
My father's wheelhouse. And this kid looks like I would if I played with 12-year-old, minus the strikeouts. I wouldn't be striking anyone out.
Come on. Oh, no. What's
wrong?
Right.
That's right.
That kid is 12?
It is Bartolo Colon pretending to be a 12-year-old. It reminds me of playing against Tamiami when I was a little kid. And I was 12 years old, and the first baseman for the Tamiami team has a beard and a cigarette as he drives into the parking lot to hit home runs off of our pitchers. Amin, are you intrigued?
I am, but I'm coming to grips with the idea that a 12-year-old could kick my ass.
How about you, Poppy? Are you intrigued?
Oh, see, I'm very intrigued. But have you seen this guy at the plate?
Oh,
have you seen this guy at the plate?
There we go. It's a double. It's a double. It's not a home run. Opposite
Look at him
field.
Run.
Look out.
Look at him run. A standing double.
Standing double with an extra bonus jiggle.
A star is born.
Yes. There it is. Yes.
On the History Channel, Alone. The Arctic.
Okay, if you're someone who struggles with loneliness, you ask yourself, how could it be any worse than this? And I would say it's being alone in the Arctic. That would make it worse. Being alone with your sadness, your depression, maybe your survival skills. What do we have here?
My entire bay has frozen.
Only two episodes left until the season finale.
This is a life or death situation.
Five people remain.
No food today.
Bad news. My fat reserves are gone.
I'm afraid of freezing to death.
Alone, the Arctic, Thursday at 10 on History.
I mean, this is an efficient commercial in terms of just making me fill with terror at being out there with no food. I hate the cold. Amin, are you intrigued?
Dad set the DVR. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
that's
yeah.
a good one. Okay. History Channel, yeah, maybe. Yeah, yeah. Alone is what it's called, Dad.
Poppy, are you intrigued? Oh, see, I'm very intrigued. You should be in that show. Your buddy will never run out of fat.
The never-ending fat reserves. Maybe day 95, Dan's still doing fine.
I'm fine. What's everyone complaining about out here? I'm good. It's not even cold. I'm sweating. That's all the time we have for today. Thank you for watching. Danny will never survive that show. Everyone else will eat him.